I've just walked into MCM Comic Con in Belfast's King's Hall, and without a shred of hyperbole, it is a feast for all the senses. Looking around, I can see a seemingly endless sea of people in incredible costumes. There are robots walking around. To my left sit a slew of comic artists drawing and painting commissions to order, and on my right there are a group of people test-driving a soon-to-be-launched video game. It's an intense place, jam-packed, hot and sweaty. To a newcomer, it could be overwhelming. I'm off to speak to the man behind the scenes about what exactly is going on this weekend.
I'm Brian Cooney and I'm co-promoter of MCM Comic-Cons. It's a modern pop culture event which is embracing everything that's geekness, so everything from movies, video games, anime, manga, comic books, steampunk, robot wars. Basically, it's everything that's current.
A huge part of the Comic-Con experience is cosplay, which, at first glance, seems to be another way of saying fancy dress. Stalwart of the NI cosplay scene, known as Granny Gertrude, explained more.
I'm Granny Gertrude. I'm the cosplay organiser here at MCM Comic-Cons. I've been a cosplayer for many years. It's a fantastic creative and social hobby. Some people, it's all about the craftsmanship, making their costume, displaying it to the world. For other people, it's a way of just donning costumes, showing what they love to the world, and a fantastic way to find other fans of the same particular interests.
I'm standing here with somebody in costume. What was your name?
Megan McLaughlin.
Who are you dressed as and what are you wearing?
I am dressed as Mikasa Ackerman from Attack on Titan. It's quite a popular anime at the moment, you could say. I don't really know how to describe it. I've got two big blades here. I've got box sheaths. I've got an engine on my back and probably look like an idiot to normal people.
It's really, really impressive. Did you make it yourself?
Yes, all of the maneuver gear I made myself. That's the name of the engines and stuff. I made the harness I'm wearing and I made the jacket as well.
It's an incredible flight jacket. There's badges on it. You've got two blades, as you say. What are they made of?
Mostly plywood and PVC foam boards.
It's clearly very impressive and highly artistic. I have to ask though, why do you do it? What's in it for you?
I want to meet other fans out there. I want to meet other people that do it as well and just have fun for a couple of days, just being someone else.
In my experience, I find people do it for a variety of reasons. Escapism, get a bit of attention, building confidence, being somebody else for the weekend. And for some people, it can be a creative outlet. If you've got a boring desk job, you want to do something in your spare time, make a costume. And if you've made a costume, you've got to show it off to the world.
It wouldn't be a proper Comic-Con without celebrity guests to draw in the fans. As a lifelong devotee of Red Dwarf, the much-celebrated space trucking comedy series, I was delighted to catch up with actors Chris Barry and Robert Llewellyn, or as you may know them, Rimmer and Crichton.
Crichton, you're forgetting about Space Tour Directive 1742.
1742? No member of the Corps should ever report for duty in a ginger toupee. Well, thank you for reminding me of that regulation, sir, but I can't see how it's pertinent to our present situation.
Many people would not be here today if it wasn't for Red Dwarf. I have had many happy memories myself trying to tune in a TV in my bedroom growing up so I could stay up late and watch it. Probably against my parents' better wishes. It was fantastic and certainly gave me a lifelong love for sci-fi. How does it feel to have so much of an influence over so many dedicated fans?
It's an extraordinary feeling, really, to come to a convention, particularly a first convention here in Belfast, which has been relatively starved of such events for too long, and to sort of see the fresh joy and love for the programme and for the characters. It's an absolute thrill, and it really does make us feel that we're doing something right.
Robert, in Red Dwarf, you play the role of Crichton, a sentient mechanoid who spends much of his time working out what it means to be human. Also involves a lot of heavy prosthetics. How much of a challenge was the role, or is the role, I should say?
It's become part of my life for such a long time now that there's a side of me that's completely used to it, and there's a side of me that if I think about what I'm doing when I have the mask on, I just can't allow myself to think about it because I will go mad, because it's the most insane job any sane human being could do.
Chris, you play Rimmer, an innately retentive hologram with a cowardly streak a mile long and a massive ego which barely fails to hide his deep-seated self-loathing. Similarly, how much of a challenge was this?
Of course, that's what I am in real life, so
it's a walk in the park, Chris.
So, not. No, it's a huge mountain to climb of a challenge, really, because I am so not like that.
Robert, I realise you're on a very tight schedule here. You're both about to go on for a panel. I've caught you eating some crisps. Very quickly, for those at home who have never been to something like this, could you tell us what you've been doing today?
Well, we've just been meeting a very long queue of really lovely fans who've been queuing up to see us and signing autographs and having pictures taken and swapping, hearing amazing stories. The amount of people who said, as you have said, you know, grew up watching Red Dwarf. My dad showed me the DVDs. I mean, I met a young lad today who was born in 2002. So, effectively, all the series we made for the BBC, we'd already done. And he's absolutely obsessed, knows all the lines, which is amazing to think that someone who wasn't even born when we made the last series of the BBC has seen them all and loves them. You know, it's a great thrill.
Great thrill for us to see generations after generations coming through. You know, we've been around, really, from 1988. So that's, what, 26 years? And there's still, we believe, another one in the pipeline.
There's another one in the pipeline. But because it's a Red Dwarf pipeline and Crichton hasn't cleaned it, it's a little bit blocked up.
My final question is that so much of the show's success relies on the delivery of razor-sharp dialogue, and words like smeghead and gimboid have entered common parlance. Could, Chris, you please insult me in the style of Rimmer?
You are a total and utter and complete goit. And on the good side, I've come to know you as someone I've met.